Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second episode of Politics A. My name is Aiden Cleaver, and I hope you're all having a good day. So the topic for this video that I kind of want to jump into is what the effects of a Trump presidency will have on Canada. Obviously, Trump was already elected in 2016, and he just won this election. I'm not going to get too much into the U.S. election and stuff like that, because I want to focus on Canada, and doesn't really matter that much, like about why Trump won and all that stuff. I think it's very interesting, and if you're interested in it and doing like some research about like the people that actually went out and voted and demographics for who voted Trump versus Harris, I think it's all very interesting. But what I want to do today is focus specifically on how this new Trump administration, because it's going to be very different than in 2016, is going to affect Canada, specifically on U.S.-Canadian relations, the economic effects that this is going to have, and the border effects and implications that this is going to have. I think the easiest place to start is the economic effects that this Trump administration is going to have on Canada, because we've seen Trump go around promising that he wants to put a 10% tariff on every single import into the U.S., which he has said is going to protect American consumers and is going to help them. That's not really how tariffs work. The consumer pays the price. He's talked about making these countries pay for taking advantage of the U.S. That's not how tariffs work. It makes it more expensive for the consumer to buy that. So the U.S. already has tariffs on especially Chinese EVs, and it makes sense to do that because the fact that China is able to produce like relatively pretty good electric cars and electric vehicles, really, really cheap and at like a giant mass scale. So if you let that in into the U.S. market, it'll destroy American manufacturing. It's seen in Australia. Obviously, Australia and China are much closer together, but Australia has allowed Chinese EVs into their countries because they don't have any domestic car manufacturers. Europe has been trying to fight against it because they obviously have car manufacturing companies like Mercedes and Volkswagen and all that stuff. And then the U.S. obviously has like Ford, GMC, Stellantis, all those companies. So the U.S. obviously wants to protect those companies. And the reason nobody really buys Chinese EVs in the U.S. is because they have, I believe it's about a 100. I think they've even talked about a 200% tariff, which makes it really, really expensive for a person to buy. But Trump promising a blanket 10% tariff could significantly impact its economy, and specifically Canada, because Canada, 75% of our exports of our goods and services go to the U.S. That's a really big number of our exports, obviously. And if a tariff of 10% is being placed on all of that, making it a lot more expensive for American consumers to buy that, it's difficult to say what will happen. There will probably be people not buying it as much, or we'll have to reduce the prices that we sell for things. It's not really known how that'll affect. But according to a BBC article, it says, quote, in July, the Business Development Bank of Canada estimated the move could subtract $7 billion from Canada's GDP in the year it's implemented, mainly from a drop in business investment, and drive down the Canadian dollar. So, like, it's going to have serious consequences for our economy. And I don't know. I think that it doesn't really make much sense. It's very easy to say, like, we want to protect, obviously, like, domestic products and stuff like that. But just putting it, it's very lazy to just put to say, oh, we're going to put a 10% tariff on everything. And also not really thinking about the impacts it has on other countries. This was seen back in the 30s with Hoover, who signed the tariffs in the 1930s. It proved to be a disaster and completely like had a large impact on the American economy. And it didn't cause the Great Depression, but it certainly did not make it any better and contributed to how bad the Great Depression was. So it's interesting how history kind of rhymes like that of we've seen it in the past and just not really paying enough attention to it, I guess, or not doing enough research. And I mean, if you ask Trump or anyone in his administration, I would not be surprised if they would just go, oh, we're going to do it better. We're going to make America great again. And they kind of dodge the question. So it's going to be interesting to see the economic impacts of not only the U.S. and how it's going to harm American citizens, but how it can have a devastating impact on Canada. I think it's, I've had the thought of like, it's much easier said than done of Canada needs to diversify its exports because clearly 75% relying on the U.S. in a situation like this where we have a Trump presidency or a Trump administration that is going to be doing, kind in my opinion, stupid things like this, like things that are policies that aren't the best. It's going to have a huge effect on Canada. And I think we should try to move away from our reliance on the U.S. Again, that's so much easier said than done, but I think it's something important to try to do in maybe like the future. We've seen the EU kind of like Trumpify it and NATO trying to Trumpify NATO. So I think Canada maybe should have learned from 2016, but, you know, it is what it is. I think going forward, we need to be like, okay, we need to start getting better export connections across the world. Again, it's much easier said than done. We trade so much with the U.S. because we're on the border with them, so we don't have to put things on ships and transport it across the Atlantic or the Pacific. We just drive trucks across the border. So it's much easier. But, I mean, talking about the border, one of the impacts that Trump's presidency is going to have is, you know, he's talking about like this mass deportation. And it's kind of been brought up that a lot of if Trump is going to go ahead and do this, and I don't see why he wouldn't. He's really promised it and gotten a lot of support based on that of like deporting the illegal immigrants who are destroying the country and whatever. They're criminals, even though Donald Trump is a convicted felon. That's besides the point. It's going to have an effect on our border, on the U.S. Canadian border, because it's not militarized at all. Like there's not a lot of security on the border because of the fact that like we're both very peaceful, and we don't really have a need to have that. In a CTV article, it says, quote, "I think you have to understand that day one, Donald Trump is going to shut our southern border down," she said, adding, "all of these illegal immigrants, all of the terrorists, all the drug traffickers, the drug cartels, the human traffickers are going to flee to Canada because they know that once Donald Trump comes to office, they're out of here. So they'll be fleeing over the northern border." That's now the U.S. is going to have a problem at the north and southern border, and that's going to cause a problem for us of, well, I mean, do we allow these people in? What do we do if we don't want to allow them in? Do they get sent back to the U.S.? Do we have to then send them back to their original country? Like, it's going to have a huge effect, and it's only going to cause this hysteria about border crises. It was seen in Poland about this. They had a referendum about their border, and I watched an interview about it, and a Polish citizen was like, oh yeah, our borders aren't horrible right now. Like we don't have a lot of like illegal immigrants coming in or anything like that. But, you know, we don't want it to be like the southern border in the U.S. And they're not even having a problem with their border, but because of the hysteria around the US and its southern border has now grown to other countries, even seen in like Eastern Europe. And we're much closer than Eastern Europe, and US political influence and how people act about politics in the US has a much greater impact in Canada than it does in somewhere like Eastern Europe. So, I mean, there's already a lot of people being like, oh, we got to deport immigrants in Canada. And it's like, who are you deporting? Like, a lot of our immigrants are legal. So I don't really understand who you're deporting. So it's like it's going to cause a huge hysteria around there. And it's like people are going to act like we have a border crisis, even when maybe it is a bit of a border crisis. But one, it's not our fault. Two, it's not their fault. And it's, I don't know. It's really unfortunate because a lot of the problems that are going to be created by a Trump presidency or Trump administration or whatever, are the problems that they're saying they want to solve. So it's just kind of a feedback loop of like, oh, there's this problem, we caused the problem, or we say we're going to solve the problem by trying to solve the problem, the cause of the problem, and then you can point it and go, oh, look, there's a problem. And it goes around and around and around and around. And then I think the like final impact of it, the final biggest impact, I think, is the U.S.-Canadian relationship. You know, when Trump first came into power or into office in like 2016, him and Trudeau, like Trudeau was obviously in power then, and he tried to have a good relationship, and it was a decent relationship for a while. But then closer to like 2019 and 2020, the relationship started to deteriorate. And Trump and Trudeau weren't really seeing eye to eye. Now, Trump coming back into power, there's still probably going to be some of that hostility. And, you know, Trudeau's probably going to try to do the best he can, but I don't really know how much better he can do. It's come out like a lot of the new appointees that Trump is appointing are like already coming out talking poorly against Trudeau. So it's going to be interesting seeing how that'll work out. We also have our, it's no longer called NAFTA. It's like the US-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, I believe is what it's called. That is up for renewal in 2026. So it'll be interesting. We have our federal election in 25, fall of 25. So it'll be interesting if somehow Trudeau were to win that, what the renegotiations would look like for that. Or, and this is most likely what will happen, is if Poilievre wins, what will the negotiations look like for that? Is he going to kind of roll over and just do whatever Trump says and not really push back on a lot of stuff? Or is he going to? Is he going to push back against Trump and, you know, actually do what's good for Canada, like he said he wants to do and what he's promised to do? You know, he made a post on Instagram talking about like wanting to protect Canadian jobs and not send more money to the US and jobs to the US. So I think it's, you know, there's part of me that thinks that Poilievre will actually do a good job against it. And I hope he does. Regardless of my opinions on Poilievre, I hope he does a good job. And there's part of me that thinks he will, that it'll look really good for him to kind of push back against the US and be like, no, we want proper like trade agreement deals. And we want proper US investment in companies and whatever, whatever. But there's also a part of me that I think there's a chance that he will roll over a little bit and just do whatever Trump says, and Trump will be able to bully him and push him around a little bit, because that's what Trump's good at. If he just pushes his opposition around and bullies him and then just gets him to do whatever he wants. It'll be interesting for that. It'll also be interesting if a like in negotiations of Canada with the US, with Trump, it's kind of a consistent thing of if you want something, you can get it, but you just have to like tell him he's a great guy. And just if you if you can inflate Trump's ego and get him a headline to be like, oh, Trump got this and Xi Jinping said he was the greatest man on earth. Meanwhile, China was getting some favorable deal. Like as an example, I believe that's a real example. I'm just going to use it as a like imaginary example because I don't know for sure. But as an example, if that were to happen, Trump is easily played by that of if you just inflate his ego and tell him that he's great, he'll kind of just solely focus on that and doesn't really care about anything else. So it'll be interesting to see if in negotiations, Canada will kind of focus on that and like try to hype him up as much as possible while trying to get good deals for Canada. It'll be interesting to see like if and when Poilievre comes into power, because I really doubt that Trudeau's gonna win re-election. I doubt that even if he were to step down, the Liberals will win re-election, and I highly doubt that Jagmeet Singh and the NDP will be able to win re-election, and then obviously the Bloc has zero chance of ever winning. And then the Greens as well don't have a very high chance, and I mean, the PPC are like not really that big anymore because COVID's over, and that was kind of their main focus. But it'll be interesting to see how Poilievre deals with that. Of is he kind of gonna publicly be like, "Oh yeah, Trump's great. We love Trump. We love the U.S." Blah blah blah. And then behind closed doors, he's actually getting good deals done. And then once it's done, he's gonna come and be like, oh, look at this, we got this, 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 and this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or if he's gonna be combative towards Trump and like pushing back and be like, no, we're not gonna just do whatever you want and kind of just be someone that you can just kind of push around and use. Like, no, we're here to get good deals, and that's what we're gonna get. I think it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I think it's much more interesting to look at like the difference in way Trump is going to treat Trudeau versus Poilievre. Obviously, Poilievre is conservative and Trump is obviously very conservative. So it's going to be interesting to see that. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see like if you go to Poilievre's Instagram post, the one where he like congratulates Donald Trump. A lot of his comments are like, oh, yeah, Trump, Poilievre, this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. It's going to be interesting to see, like, are people going to expect Poilievre to act similar to Trump and whatnot? Because I think there's obviously a lot of Canadians that probably would have voted for Trump if they could. But I don't know if he's going to kind of lose the more moderate center right people, because if you want to vote for Trump, you're fairly far right. But in Canada, like our conservative party is not very far right. Like it's pretty center right leaning. And then like our Liberals are pretty center left, and NDP is pretty left. But like in the US, it's like the Republicans are pretty far right, and then the Democrats are still right. Like they're not really left. So I think it's going to be interesting how people kind of the expectations people put on Poilievre in acting like Trump or respecting Trump. Like I think it's going to be interesting. Are people going to, if Poilievre pushes back against Trump, are people going to look at that like fondly? The people who like Trump, are they going to be like, oh yeah, Poilievre's doing what's right for Canada? You know, Trump's trying to push us around and give us bad deals. Go, Poilievre. Or are they going to look at him and be like, no, you need to listen to Trump. Do whatever Trump says. He knows what's right. I think that is going to be interesting to look at. And like, are we going to see with those same people like wanting similar policies that the US has implemented in Canada. I mean, abortion is being talked about somewhat frequently in Canada now, started with the NDP. I think obviously sparked because of the US, but it started with the NDP, Jagmeet Singh coming out, making a big deal of it, being like, yeah, we are like pro-abortion. We like support like the right for women to choose their body, their choice. And then now Trudeau has come out and is saying stuff about it. But Polyev has been pretty quiet about it and hasn't really said anything about abortion. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, is that actually a big problem for Canadians? Obviously, it's a huge problem in the U.S., but it's not really a big problem in Canada. Abortion is not legal in Canada. It's also not illegal. It's kind of in a gray zone where like it's allowed, but like it's not required by the government. It's not required for them to provide access to abortion. That's kind of what the Liberals and NDP have been pushing, is that like, hey, we want to make sure that like access to abortion is like is required, and then like everybody has access to abortion. Currently, it's not. Like, it's just if there's a place that offers it, you're allowed to go there and you won't face any like legal repercussions, unlike the US, which is certain states have completely outlawed it. Some states have put it into their constitution. So it's kind of going to be interesting. Like, Polyev kind of has talked about like not legislating it, also not using the notwithstanding clause on it. He says, quote, a common sense conservative government will not legislate on abortion and therefore will never use this section of the Constitution pertaining to this matter. So I think he, and honestly, like, it makes sense for him. I think he's purposely being fairly like, doesn't really want to say anything about it. But it'll be interesting to see, like, the effects that a Trump presidency has on it. Is he going to change his tune a little bit and push for like, oh, we want to limit abortion, maybe not outright ban it, but we want to limit it and put like restrictions like some states have. Like Florida is like a 6-week ban. I think Texas is a 12-week. So it's just going to be very interesting. We're in a weird time where it's so difficult to predict or assume anything is going to happen, because Trump is so all over the place. I mean, like, it's, if you watch or just listen to him talk, he just rambles. Like, it's just nothing. I think, I'm not like full conspiracy theory, like he's full mental decline like Biden. Biden obviously has had like mental decline. He's just old. Trump's also old. Like, these guys are so old. Trump's 78 years old. Biden's 81. Like, I think it's kind of crazy that these people are running. So obviously Trump is having some mental decline, but like it's just so difficult to predict what he's gonna do, because he said so much. You know, he's gone like abortion's bad, then he's also said abortion's like kind of okay, it's good. He said like I'm not gonna legislate it, then he's also said he's gonna fully ban it. So it's difficult and it's almost impossible to predict what actually is gonna happen. In my opinion, it's similar to Polyev. Polyev just says a bunch of stuff. You know, he's gonna axe attacks, he's gonna stop the crime. I don't know, what are his other slogans? Oh, build the homes, all this stuff. But, you know, I didn't really talk about like the policies that they're actually going to implement for it. And it's a lot of kind of following Trump's footsteps. And this is a later episode I want to do a much deeper dive into, is this rising in populism, mostly used by the right. But Trump kind of goes for clips and he tries to get stuff. Polyev has, I mean, like, I kind of have to give him respect, has done a good job for that. His whole, Mr. Speaker, Prime Minister is a wacko. Like, that's a really good clip. And it got a lot of people going, yeah, you know, Trudeau is a wacko. Why are they limiting his speech? And they're saying that he's not allowed to call him a wacko. Well, it's because Parliament's not supposed to be a clown show. We're supposed to be debating legislation and policy and politics, not calling the someone you disagree with a wacko and calling them names. But it's worked for him. It's been good for him. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's very difficult to predict. I just hope that the facts don't affect Canada too much. I hope that Trump kind of forgets about Canada, or as he said, Northern Mexico. I hope he kind of forgets about us. I'm going to stay cautiously optimistic. You know, I don't want to be too pessimistic and a Debbie Downer. I'm going to try to be positive about it. And I think you should too. I mean, you can only control so much. So there's no point in dwelling too much on stuff you can't control. But on that note, I appreciate you all for listening. I'm trying to get some guests lined up, so it's not just going to be me talking to myself. So stick around for that, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope you all enjoyed listening to the second episode of Politics A, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.